All right, Rav Osai, good morning. Alichtige Chanukah, good Chodesh, good Tavach. Let's begin. Today's daf is Yud Beis 12. We are picking up at the two dots, four lines down from the top. A special thank you to Kalman Akiva Kovacs for giving the shir yesterday. Rav Osai, with that, let's begin. Amrav Nachman, Amrav. Rav Osai, an incredibly riveting, fascinating, and beautiful daf today. Amrav Nachman, Amrav. Ra Echad Sheshachat. So Rabbi says, listen to this. You see someone who shechted. See someone who shechted an animal. So what's the halacha? Imra'uhu mitchila va'ad sof, mutter le'echo mishchitaso, ve'im lav asr le'echo mishchitaso. So Rav Nachman says the name of Rav, if you saw someone shecht, if you saw him shecht, if you witnessed the shechita from beginning until the end, then you are permitted to eat of his shechita. But if not, you are not permitted to eat of his shechita. Okay, so we'll say, so what Rav seems to be saying over here, is that in order to be able to eat of someone's shechita, you have to mamish witness the shechita in its entirety from beginning to end. To which the Gemara asks, Hechi Dami. So what's the case? Obviously, there's some blanks that we need to fill in over here. Idiyada de Gamir Lamalira. If you know that the particular shochet in question is someone who is well versed in the laws of shechita, then the truth is, why do I need to see him at all? See, Rabbi said, we operate with the understanding, if someone is versed in the halachos of shechita, he doesn't need a mashkiach. He doesn't need someone standing over him. Halacha lemaisa, nothing. Halacha lemaisa, in the event that he knows the halachos of shechita, so we trust him to do the good job. So therefore, again, if he knows the halachos of shechita, lama lira, then ultimately, again, why does he need someone to oversee him? The idea of the law gamer, and I both say if at the end of the day we're not sure if he's well, if he's versed in the laws of shechita, pshita, then it's obvious that a shechita is only going to be valid if what? If there's a mashkiach, if there's someone overseeing the shechita. To which the Gemara says, so what's the case? Ve'ela delo yada igamir ilo gamir. Rather, Rabbi say, Rav's case is, we're not sure if the shochet knows the halachas of shechita or not. So we'll say, so now, if we don't know if he knows the halachas of shechita or not, why don't we employ another principle? You know, we spent all of yesterday, truth is part of Friday, all of yesterday discussing the halachos, or the source for chazaka, the source for rov. Sirabo said the Gemara is going to introduce to us another and very important principle, which is ilo gamer lema rov mitzuyin etzal shechita mumchen hein. Bosai, why don't we make the assumption that the majority of people who shecht are mumchen? Then Rabbi said, now what's the nature of this rov? If you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi, this is right across from the Kutei Rashi, Mumchen Heim, Shim Lo Haya Mumcha, Lo Haya Shochet. See, Rabbi said, this is actually a very interesting rov. This rov says, the majority of people who engage in Shechita are experts. Now, how can we make that rov? Because the Gemara is operating under an assumption that what? That if a person didn't know what they were doing, then why would they engage in this process? So therefore, by definition, I will say, by the way, you understand how profound this rove is? Imagine, by the way, if people applied this concept to things they talk about, right? Imagine for a moment that you only voiced your opinion in things that you actually know a little bit about, right? So that when you went ahead and you made a statement, so that when you spoke, it would actually be meaningful because maybe you know something about what you're talking about. So we'll say, so again, so the Gemara makes that principle over here, applies that principle by shechita. The assumption is someone is only going to shecht if they know the process of shechita. Which I will say, the truth is, in all seriousness, the reason why this principle is very important is because, remember, if you botch shechita, so there's an incredible financial loss. So therefore, again, the Gemara is making an assumption that if you're engaging in shechita, you know what you're doing. So why don't we say, even if we don't know this individual, let's make the assumption, rov mitzuyin etzal shechita mumchen hein, and therefore the shechita would be good. Milo Tanya, after all, did we not learn? Haresha Matzah Tana Golish Chut of a Shuk. Both this is interesting, Braisa. If you find a shechted chicken in the marketplace, oh, Sha'amr Lishluchot Se Shachot, or you tell your Shliach to go out and shecht an animal for you, Vahalach Umatzah Shachot, and you find that the animal is indeed shechted, Cheskaso Shachot. It was an incredible halacha. You can make the assumption that the shechita was done correctly. Why is that? Alma Aminon. Rov mitzuyin etzal shechita mumchen hein. Because Rabbi say, in fact, we hold of the principle that what? That the majority of people who shecht are Mumchen. So we'll say, by the way, when we say majority, remember, what does rov do? The majority allows you to understand that. Once you have a rov, rov tells you that all the time it's this. In other words, once you say rov mitsuyin eitz al shchita mumchen hein, that the majority of people ultimately who engage in shchita are mumchen, so that allows you to say that any time you find an animal shechted, you could assume that the shchita was done properly. That's what rov mitsuyin eitz al shchita means. So therefore, again, I go into the marketplace, I find the chicken that is shechted, I could assume the chicken is kosher, rov mitsuyin eitz al shchita. Now obviously, I will say, the Shulchan Aruch, by the way, quotes this halacha lamaisa, that we pass in rov mitsuyin eitz al shchita mumchen hein, but obviously there are parameters to this. So for example, this case of going into the marketplace and finding a chicken that is shechted and being able to eat that chicken, there are a lot of other factors that have to come into play. Who's the majority of the townspeople, right? Are the majority of the townspeople Jewish or not Jewish? So again, we're not getting into all the secondary factors, but what we are seizing on is this concept of rov mitsuyin eitz al shchita mumchen hein. We make the assumption that a person is not going to engage in shchita if he doesn't know what he's doing. Therefore, the majority of people who engage in shchita are in fact mumchen. And therefore, again, even if I don't know someone to be versed, I could assume that if they're engaging in shchita, they must know that what they're doing, and therefore I could eat of their shchita. So the Gemara says, "Hachinami lema rov mitzuyin etzal shchita mumchen hein." So we'll say coming all the way back. So remember again, Rav Nachman quoted in the name of Rav that if I see someone shechting, if I go ahead and I witness his shchita from beginning to end, I could eat of his shchita. So now the Gemara says, "I don't understand why I need that." At the end of the day, if you subscribe to the principle of rov mitsuyin eitzal shchita mumchen hein, that the majority of people, ultimately again, who shecht, are in fact mumchen, then even if I didn't witness his shchita from beginning to end, the shchita should still be good. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you, the olam diyada delo gamir. So we'll say the case, Rav's case actually is a situation where this individual does not know hilchos shchita. I know for a fact he does not know hilchos shchita. Ukigon, so we'll say, so what's the case? So now, we'll say, this raises another interesting point, which is, there's someone who doesn't know hilchos shchita, is there ever a circumstance where halacha lemaisa, his shchita could be good? Now we know the answer to that is, yes. Right, that's a mafurisha case in the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? V'kulan, right? If you have a case, acherin omed al gabon. If ultimately, again, there's a mashkiach standing there, and the mashkiach is looking at every stage of the shchita, and the mashkiach sees that the person is supposed to say, you know, technically speaking, you can execute in a proper act of shchita even if you're not versed in the halachos of shchita. Essentially, as long as you avoid the psulim of shchita, then you could execute a bona fide act of shchita. So the idea is, if you have someone standing over you and that person is able to say, listen, I saw Chaim Yankel, he did the shchita, he might not know the halachos, but I saw him execute it perfectly, halacha maisa, that's a valid shchita. So the case over here is, the person in question, the shochet in question, does not, we know, he doesn't know the halachos of shchita. And what happened? Ukigon, the shochet kaman chad simen, shapir. Bosei, so what do we see? We saw that he cut the first simen properly. He cut the first of the simanim. He cut the windpipe, right? The chicken, it doesn't matter which one. He cut one of them properly. Now, what would I have thought? Made the high shapir, hachnami shapir. So maybe I would have thought as follows. Once I saw him do one simon properly, then what? Then I could assume he's going to do the second simon properly also, and I don't have to oversee it. Kamash molono, high isramuye isramile, idach shema. Shaha Shamadaras. So Rabbi Tushli Gemara says no. Halach lemaisa, if you know the individual in question does not know the halachos of shchita, the only way to ensure that the shchita is done properly is how? Is to oversee the shchita from beginning to end. But if you only saw one simen, but did not witness the second simen, then halacha lemaisa what? Halacha lemaisa, the shchita would be invalid. So we'll say, so I want to show you something very interesting. So what comes out over here is as follows. We accept the principle, arov mitsuyin eitzal shchita mumchen hein. We accept that principle. We assume that anyone who's engaging in shchita knows what they're doing. Because why would someone who doesn't know what they're doing engage in a process that could have such a significant financial loss? So watch this. If I don't know who the shochet is, I just know him to be a Jew, right? Every Jew has a cheskes kashrus. sent home to be a Jew, and he does shechita. So what's talacha? What's talacha? Shechita's good. Shechita's good. What happens if there was no mashkiach for the shechita? Shechita's still good. Why? Because rov mitzvin etzel shechita mumchin hei. Now, obviously, I will say, I'm simplifying this case. There are many more parameters, but for our purposes today, where does the complicated case come up? Complicated case comes up where I know the shochet what? I know he doesn't know Hilchos Shechita. I know he doesn't know. How do I didn't know Hilchos Shechita? He never came to one day of Daf Yomi for Chulin. Right? He missed the entire Shia, right? So I know for sure, he's for sure not a mumcha in Hilchos Shechita. I know for sure. So I'll say, so now, interestingly enough, a person like that could still shecht, as long as what? As long as someone's watching him. So as long as someone, a mashkiach, oversees the Shechita from beginning to end, his Shechita can still be good. The novelty, Rabbi Osei, is, but yeah, in order for a shechita to be good, you have to have a mashkiach for the entire shechita. Just because you saw him do one siman properly, it's possible that maybe what? Maybe, again, he just got lucky with that first siman, but he could still potentially mess up the second siman. So as long as there is someone overseeing his shechita from beginning to end, his shechita will be good. Next case. Listen to this case. Osei, so now we're going back to the Gemara, just made reference to this case before. Ha'omer l'shlucho, tzei v'shachet. I say to my shliach, go out and shecht an animal for me. V'halachu matza shachet. And I find that my animal is shechted. Or, so we'll say, what's the halacha? Mahu. What's the halacha? What's the status of this animal? So we'll say, so in this case over here, what ended up happening is as follows. So I told my shliach to go out and shecht my animal. And I find it shechted. The one piece of information I don't know is what? Who did it? Or did my shaliach do it, or did someone else do it? So mahu, amrlo, he responded to him, cheskaso shachot, the chazoka is that the animal is properly geshacht, right? It's properly shechted. Okay, contrast this with another case. Ha'omer l'shlucho, tzei v'tarum. I say to my shaliach, go and tithe my produce. V'halachu matza tarum, and I find that my produce is tithe. Rabbi Osei, again, similarly in this case, I don't know, did my shaliach do it? Did someone else do it? What's the halacha? Umatza v'halach tarum, mai, amralei, ein cheskaso tarum. So ultimately, again, we cannot rely on the fact that it was properly tithed. In other words, even though it looks like it was tithed, we cannot rely on the fact that it was properly tithed. So what's going on over here? So we'll say, so you understand the inherent contradiction. In other words, by the shechita case, I tell my shaliach to go and shecht the animal. I find it shechted. We can rely on the fact that it was shechted properly. I tell my shaliach to go and tithe my produce. It looks like it was tithed. I cannot rely on the fact that it was tithed properly. So what's going on? Man of shach. If we assume that there's a chazaka, that a shliach faithfully carries out his mission, then what? Then ultimately, again, just like the shechita is good, also so to what? So to what? The truma should be good. So the Gemara says, "Afi the truma, ich ein chazaka shliach." Sorry, vi ein chazaka shliach osa shlichuso, afilu shechita nami lo. But we'll say if at the end of the day we hold that there is not a chazaka that the shliach does his agency, then what? Then even the shechita case should not be good. What's going on over here? So we'll say, that's very interesting. Remember, this is Rav Dimi Bar Yosef asking this question for Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman responds jokingly, Amar lei, l'chitechol alei kura de milcha. You know what? If you measure out for me a kura of salt, I'll answer your question. So what Rashi points out over here, so Rav Nachman was joking around. All right, if you give me a quart of salt, I'll answer your question. Give me $100 and I'll answer your question. So the Olam, obviously, that was a joke. Okay, good. So the Olam, so Rav Nachman responds, the Olam, ein chazaka shliach osa shlichus. It's actually quite amazing. Rav Nachman posits that in general, there's not a chazaka that an agent executes his agency. Rashi points out over here, safek osa, safek ino osa. In general, Rabbi Osei, it's actually quite amazing. When you ask someone to do something, it's a safek if they're going to do it, right? Maybe they will, maybe they'll. Rabbi Osei, now I will point out, different areas of halacha, there's a different kind of chazaka, but at least for our purposes now, Rav Nachman says, in general, there's no chazaka that a shliach executes his agency. Aye, so if that's the case, then what? then what do I do about the shechita case? Then why is it that if I tell my shaliach to go ahead and shecht my chicken, and I find my chicken shechted, then what? Then halacha l'maisa, we just said before, that what? That ultimately, again, it's okay? To which the Gemara says, Ushchita inami dilma inish achrina shama v'azal shachat, rov mitzuyin eitzal shechita mumchen hein. See, Rabbi Osai, by the shechita case, there's a different issue. What's the different issue? The different issue is rov mitzuyin eitzal shechita. See, Rabbi Osai, it's actually quite interesting. So my shaliach may have shechted the chicken or not. It's possible he did it, it's possible someone else did it. But even if someone else did it, what? Rov mitzuyin eitzal shechita mumchen hein. I can make the assumption that whoever did it ultimately, what? Was a mumcha, knew what he was doing, and therefore, again, the shechita will be a bona fide shechita. Aye, what about the case of truma? Truma, dilma inish achrina shama va'aza v'taram. So I will say, by truma, so now here's the problem by truma. So I have now, I'm working, so I tell my shaliach, go and tithe my produce. We just said before that, what? We're not sure if a shaliach, suffix shaliach, does his job or not. So we'll say, here's the issue. So I find that the produce looks like it was tithed. So there are two possibilities. What are the two possibilities? Either A, my shaliach did it, or B, someone else did it. The problem is if someone else did it, Dilma Inish Achrina Shama, so maybe someone else say, I just heard Silber tell the shaliach to go and tithe this produce. I'll be a nice guy. I'll tithe Silber's produce for him. Very nice thought, except for one problem. Havilei Torah Shalomidas. Rabbi say, that is the situation of someone tithing my produce without my explicit permission. But Torim Shalomidas in Trumasa Truma. Rabbi say, the general principle is that if you tithe someone's produce without their permission, the halacha is that what Rabbi say? Such an act of tithing is an invalid act of tithing. And therefore, Rabbi say, that's the chilek. So in the case of Shechita, even though Rabbi say, we are applying the same principle, which is, Ein chazaka shliach osa shlichuso. I guess I was like, when you ask someone to do something, it's a suffix. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. So therefore, in the case of truma, when I come back and it looks like my produce was tithed, what do I have to be concerned about? What do I have to be concerned about? That someone other than my shaliach did it. And I will say, if someone other than my shaliach did it, if you tithe someone's produce without their explicit permission or instruction, the tithing is invalid. Therefore, again, the act of tithing, it's invalid. In the case of Shechita, Rav Osai, whether my shaliach did it or someone else did it, the Shechita will be okay. Why? Because even if someone else did it, what do we say? Rov mitzuyin eitzel Shechita mumchen hein. And therefore the Shechita will be good. Incredible. Leima. Rov mitzuyin eitzel Shechita hein. Tanahi. Rav Osai, let's say that the concept of Rov mitzuyin eitzel Shechita is in fact a machlokes tanoi. They will say, so we're making it sound like everyone subscribes to this idea. Maybe not. Maybe, in fact, halacha l'maisa, it is a machlokes tanoim. After all, what happened to Sanya? Haresha avdulo gediyav v'karnagolav v'halach umatza shchut. And Abbas, listen to this case. This is an incredible case. I lost my gedi, or I lost my chicken, and what do I find? They show up, but unfortunately, again, now they show up shechted. They show up shechted. I find them shechted. So I find them, but not exactly in the same state. So we'll say, so now, here's the shaila. You hear the shaila over here. Can I go ahead? Okay, so it's bad enough that I lost my gedi, I lost my chicken. At least let me not have a suda. Right? So the shaila is, can I eat them or not? You hear the shaila, can I eat them or not? So we'll say, so Rabbi Huda Oser. Rabbi Huda says, no, it's Oser. Rabbi Chanina b'no shor Rabbi Yossi Aglili matir. And Rabbi Yos Chanina, the son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, says that it is mutter. So we'll say fundamental machlokas. So what does it sound like? What does it sound like? It sounds like what they're arguing about is what? Rov mitzuyin etzel shechita mumchen hein. Tesh Rabbi Yehuda will say, we do not hold rov mitzuyin etzel shechita mumchen hein. Therefore, when you find your gedi or you find your tarnagol shechted, what's the problem? You can't eat it. Why? Why? We don't know who did it or what they did. On the other hand, Rabbi Chanina says, no, we hold rov mitzuyin etzel shechita mumchen hein. And therefore, if you find your tarnagol or you find your gedi shechted, you can eat it. So I'll say, so now watch this. Amar Rabbi. Rabbi says, Nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Shematzan ba'ashpa, v'divrei Rabbi Chanina b'no Rabbi Yosef Lili, Shematzan ba'bayis. So the Rebbe says, maybe we could say as follows. Maybe everything depends ultimately where what? Where you go ahead and you find the shechted animal. If you find the shechted animal in a garbage dump, so then Rabbi say you can't eat it. Why can't you eat it? Why can't you eat it? No, not because it's dirty. Don't be such a little girl. Right? Because it's dirty. It's a good piece of meat. Come on. All right? He'll say, so ultimately, again, call yourself a man. Come on, wash it off. Wash it off and move on. All right? There's the 3-hour rule. Right? So he'll say, so listen to this. So remember, again, the issue is, as we're going to see, that nevelus, animal carcasses, were discarded in garbage dumps. So in other words, if you had an animal that was properly shechted, you would not put it in a garbage dump. If it's there, it must mean that it's an avela. So therefore, again, Rebbe says that it appears if the carcass, if the body of the animal is found in a garbage dump, that seems to be indicative of the fact that it's an avela and the shechita was not good, and therefore it's aser. Versus, I'll say, if you find it babayis. In other words, let's keep the case simple. I lost my animal, and it turns out I find it again, and it's shechted, and I find it on my doorstep. I find it on my doorstep. So Rabbi say, in that kind of case, halacha ma'aseh, Rabbi suggests that we're paskin like Rabbi Chanina. And Rabbi Chanina, ultimately, again, that the shechita should be good. So my love, so we'll say, so what's the argument over here? My love, b'hak meflagi, the mar savar amrinan rov mesuyin es ha-shechita mumchin heim, hu mar savar lo amrinan rov mesuyin es ha-shechita mumchin heim. So the Gemara says, what's the machlokes, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Chanina? B'pashtos, what they're arguing about is on the principle a rov mesuyin es ha-shechita mumchin heim. Rabbi Huda seemingly rejects that principle. Rabbi Chanina accepts that principle. To which the Gemara says, Amrav Nachman by Yitzchak lo. Nope, that's actually not the Mechlokis. The Kuli Amo, Rov Mitzvin Eitzel Shechita Mumchnein. In fact, Rabbi said, the way we were hold is that we will subscribe to the principle that the majority of people who go ahead and what? The majority of people who shecht are mumchin. We hold of that Rov. So we'll say, so what's the Mechlokis? Here we go. Ubebayis the Kuli Amo lo pligidi shari. Be'ashpa b'shuk the Kuli Amo lo pligidi asr. Rabbi said, listen to this. Let's start with what everybody agrees with. Both Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Chanina will agree that Rov Mitzuyin eats al Shechita Mumchin. So we'll say, what we are establishing now is that it appears that everyone agrees with that Rov. Everyone agrees that the Rov of people who engage in Shechita are versed in the halachos of Shechita. No one's going to attempt the Shechita if they don't know what they're doing. Okay, that's number one everybody agrees with. Number two, what does everybody agree with? If you find a carcass of an animal in the ashpa of the shuk, the public dump, then what Rabbi say? It's an avela, and because that's classically where people would dump animal carcasses that were inedible. Okay, so if you find that, furthermore, so everybody agrees on that. What does everybody agree with Rabbi say? That if you find an animal shechted in your home, then what? Then what? It's kosher. It's good. What's the machlokes case? Ki pligi ba'ashpa shababais. Rabbi say, let's say you've made it, right? That's a sign you've made it. You've got your own ashpa, right? I don't need a public dump, right? I have my own garbage heap. So what happens if we find an animal, if we find the carcass, I find the carcass of an animal in my private garbage heap. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? Mar savar as adam asui lahatul nevelosa ba'ashva shebabayis, umar savar ein adam asui lahatul nevelosa ba'ashva shebabayis. So we'll say, listen to this. So what's the machlokes? The machlokes is, do people normally discard nevelos in their own private garbage heaps? So we'll say, so one opinion says yes, one opinion says no. Why would you say no, Rabbi Osai? Ultimately, why? Because what happens with the animal carcass just after a relatively short amount of time? It begins to smell. No one's going to want to go ahead and put a nevela in their garbage heap because it's going to smell up the entire house. Therefore, again, Rabbi said, the shaila is what happens if you find the body of an animal that appears like it checked it in your personal garbage dump. So Rabbi Yehuda will say, it's a nevela. It's a nevela because people, in fact, do discard of nevelas even in their personal garbage dumps. Rabbi Chanina will say no, because again, nevelas are never discarded in private garbage dumps. They're only discarded of where? In public garbage dumps. And therefore, halacha l'maaseh, if you find an animal discarded in your private garbage dump, and it looks like, you know, I remember over here, what's happening is also there's also a visual inspection here. It appears that the animal was shechted properly, right? If you see an animal with a fully intact, with a bow through its heart, that's not what we're talking about here, Rabbi, right? That's obviously an avela. We're talking about an animal that was killed and it appears that it had a proper shechita. Rabbi Chanina will say, if you find it in a private dump, Halacha l'maisa again, the animal will be kosher. Amar Mar. So we'll say again, what turns out over here, therefore, is something very important. Both Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Chanina are both holding Rov Mitsuyin Eitzel Shchita Mumchin Hein. They're disagreeing in a very limited scope. They agree about an animal found in a public dump that it's an Avela. They agree about an animal that is found in the home that is what they're both saying? Kosher. Right? What do they disagree on? The case of an animal found in a private dump, in a personal garbage heap. Rabbi Yehuda will say such an animal is an avela. Rabbi Chanina will say that such an animal ultimately, again, such an animal is still kosher. So Amar Rabbi. We'll say first wide line Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Nirin Divrei Rabbi Yehuda Shematzan Ba'ashpa. So Rabbi said that it would appear that the words of Rabbi Yehuda are correct when that the animal is usher when you find it in ashpa, in a garbage dump. So Gemara says, my ashpa, which ashpa are we talking about? Ilei ma ashpa b'shuk. If you want to say it's a public garbage dump, ha'amrit kuli amalo pligid usher. You just said before that what? That everyone agrees that if you find it in a public garbage dump, then what? Then halacha lamaisa, it is aser. Elo la pshita basha shebabayis. So what are we talking about over here? In a private garbage dump, ema sefi, here's the problem. For divrei Rabbi Chanina b'no Shabbi Yosi, akhlili shematzan babayis. My bias, I'm going to say, what's the case of a bias? Ilei ma bias mamish. If you want to say ultimately again, it's an ashpa and a bias. Ha'amrit dekuli amo lo pligi deshari. We just said about say that if you found it in the bias and what? Everyone agrees that what? That ultimately it's good. Elapshita ba'ashpa sheba bias. Riley wants you talking about the ashpa and the bias. If that's the case about say, kashe derabi ad derabi. Now you're telling me again about say that what? That the case of ashpa bias, in fact, again, halacha lamaisa, is that Rebbe's contradicting himself. Amud beis. Hachi kamar. I'm going to say this is what it means to say. Here we go. Hachi kamar. Nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Chanina, b'nosh Rabbi Yosef Halevi, ba'ashpa shebashok. So Rabbi Yosef, listen to this. Nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Chanina, that Rabbi Yehuda's words are accepted by Rabbi Chanina. Remember again, Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said aser. So his words are accepted by Rabbi Chanina, who said mutter. Which case? Ba'ashpa shebashok. If you found the body of the animal where? Ultimately, again, in the garbage dump, in a public garbage dump. Sha'af Rabbi Chanina b'no Shabbi Yosei Lili lo nechlak alav ela ba'ashva shebabayis. Because I also remember again, even Rabbi Chanina only disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda in the case of a private garbage dump. Ava ba'ashva shebashuk modilei. Ultimately, again, but in the ashva of the shuk, ultimately what? Even Rabbi Chanina would agree with Rabbi Yehuda that the animal would be asa. So we'll say, what comes out for our purposes today, which is exceptional, when Abbas said, now we'll get into all of these cases about finding a shechted carcass of an animal. Abbas said, the Shulchan Aruch, this is in Yerodea, Simon Aleph, Sif Aleph. There's a very long Rama that discusses many of these cases. Now we're not going to get too into the Rama because Abbas said, as I mentioned before, a lot of these cases are not just simply dependent on public garbage dump, private garbage dump. What else is it very much dependent on? Population. Who is your population? Is this a city of Rov Jews? Is this a city of Rov Nachrim? That is going to be an incredible determinant in this particular halacha. But what does come out?
Isn't the Rov referring to the Rov of the Shochet, not the population?
No, you're going to see Rov Mitzuyin Eitzel Shechita is one thing, but the majority of who lives in the city, the residents of the city, is going to be another determinant. The Gemara is going to get to this in just a moment. Well, not just a moment. In a couple of lots, we're going to see it. But Rabbi Osai, what comes out for our purposes is as follows. There are a couple of very important principles. Number one, is that halacha lemaisa, anytime you're finding an animal in the public garbage dump, for sure not good. Right, that's where it's, even if you find the animal in a public garbage dump, the animal is not good. It is in a vela. So that we're establishing. Private garbage dump, machlokes. We're going to see ultimately again what to do with that. But I will say, but for our purposes, what's the most important takeaway of all of this? The most important thing, besides the fact that chulin is incredible, which is your takeaway every single day. You guys are supposed to say, what's the other takeaway? Everyone is agreeing. Rove mitzuyin etzel shrita mumchin hein. Which Rabbi say is incredibly important. Because you understand, the majority, right, that there's a robe that says anyone who's engaging in shrita knows what they're doing. Rabbi say, why is that an incredibly important takeaway? Because what that tells us is that if we see someone doing shrita, right, the default is that what? Person knows what he's doing. That's again, Rabbi say, it's only in the cases where we know that this guy does not know what he's doing. Right, that's when he's going to need a mashkiach from beginning to end. But this is an incredible, incredible idea that we assume rov mitzuyin eitzel shchita mumchinei. So I don't know you, but I see you shechting. The default halacha is you know what you're doing because the rov tells us people who don't know what they're doing do not engage in shchita. It's incredible. That's the takeaway. Weiter. Both sides go. Just I know some people have to daven at 9 o'clock, so we'll finish up quickly. So the Gemara says as follows: v'kulan sheshachtu. I'm sorry. Chutz mecheder shot of a cotton. Shami kalkula shchita. So we're going back to the Mishnah. So remember again, what did the Mishnah say? We don't have the Mishnah about power already. Haytaka oshocht inu shchitas and ksheira. Everyone could shecht and the shchita is good. Chutz mecheder shot of the cotton. They can't shecht. So it says the Gemara. Say, listen to this. Why? Shami kalkula shchitas. Why? Because maybe they'll go ahead and mess up the shchita. So we'll say, the Gemara makes an interesting observation. Shema kilkulu lo katani ema ella shema yikalkulu. Both say, so what's interesting as follows. It doesn't say Shema Kilkulu. Both say, what does Shema Kilkulu mean? Shema Kilkulu means ex post facto. That after the fact, ultimately again, the Shechita may be messed up. Rather, what does it say? Shema Yikalkulu. Maybe they will be Makalkulu. Both say, what does this teach us? Amarava Zoso Meres. A motion and chun chatchila. See, what's the difference between Shema Kilkulu and Shema Yikalkulu? Shema Kilkulu means that after the fact, your shechita is not good. Shema Yikalkulu teaches us that what? That what? That even lechatchila, you cannot give them an animal to shecht. Even lechatchila, you cannot allow them to do any kind of shechita. Even Rabbi Yosef, when it comes to chulin, which means unconsecrated animals, you cannot give a cheder shot of a cotton to shecht at all. The kulon sheshechtu v'achirin ron as shechitas and ksheira. Rabbi Yosef, remember, what was last night of the Mishnah? But anyone who did shecht, But others saw them shecht, the shechita is good. Now remember again, in the straight reading of the Mishnah, who does this sound like it's referring to? So remember again, we spent a lot of time discussing how to dissect the Mishnah. We did everything but read the Mishnah in accordance with the Pashat meaning of the Mishnah. The Pashat meaning of the Mishnah is, Chere Shot of a Katan are not permitted to shecht. You cannot give them an animal to shecht, but what? But what? But now, if they did shecht, and what? Someone else was watching them the entire time from the beginning till the end of the shechita, then what? The shechita's kasher. So we'll say, now watch this. Now we'll say, what does that tell you? Mantana de lo ba'inan kavana l'shechita. Now we'll say, now what do you see from here? The Mishnah is teaching me that although the chatchila, cheder shot of a katan, should not shecht at all, if they did shecht, someone was watching them. And that person could testify that what? That the shechita was done correctly. Then what? The shechita is good. Rabbi said, what does that tell you? That shechita does not require kavanah. That if somebody just did shechita as just a regular mechanistic act, without any kavanah for the quote-unquote mitzvah, I'm saying quote-unquote because Rabbi said, it's not poshut that shechita is a mitzvah. Shechita just might be a matir. So we'll get into this a little bit more, but it's clear that if someone did shechita without any kind of kavanah, it works. Because if you're telling me that a cheder shot of a katan who did shechita, as long as someone observed their shechita from beginning to end, their shechita is good, that shows you shechita doesn't require kavanah. Amar Rava, oh, who is Rava say, listen to this case, this is wild. So Rava say, oh, Rava says, yes, it's Rabbi Nassan. Because what does Rabbi Nassan say? Detani Oshia Zira de Min Chariya. Rava say, get ready for this case. Zorak Sakin the Noatza Bakosel. Vaholcha Veshachta Kidarka. We'll say, this is a guy you want to be friends with. Listen to this. Right? He's a knife thrower. And he's such a good answer. We'll say that what did he do? He throws the knife, and it does a perfect shechita. Right? It was a perfect shechita, Rabbi Osai. It was a perfect shechita. So Zorak Sakin, Rabbi Osai, now really what he's doing is, he's just stop knife throwing. You know, it's a nice Sunday afternoon. Right? So he's just knife throwing. Right? So it happens to be, while he's knife throwing, what does he do? There happens to be an animal, I guess either on its back or on its however, whatever the mitzias is, right, standing up on its hind legs, whatever it is, right, and I do a knife throw, and the mamish cuts right across the two simanim of the animal, and it shechs the animal perfectly. What's the status? Rabbi Nosson Machshir, Chachamim Poslim. Right? Rabbi Nachman says it's kosher, the Chacham say it's Poslim. Abos say, so clearly Rabbi Nachman holds that what? That you don't need Kavanah for Shechita. Because here, what's my Kavanah, Abos? What's my Kavanah? Right? Show off my knife throwing prowess, right? I've got it, right? I want to get it in the bullseye. Just happens to be there's a cow on its hind legs right by the bullseye. Can I mamish get it? I do a perfect Shechita. So what's Rabbi Nosson clearly holds that Shechita doesn't need Kavanah. So Abos say, listen to this. I'm sorry. Who tani lava? Who amrala? Halacha Rabbi Nosson, and halacha Rabbi Nosson with halacha Rabbi Nosson. That such a shechita will be good. Here's the problem. We'll say, gets better. By the way, v'haba inar molachu mevi. But I will say that's not a good shechita because we're going to learn. We'll say that in shechita you need a molech umevi. Right? I don't know what the right terminology for this is. Back and forth. Right, back and forth. Right? You can't shech the animal in just one movement. There has to be a back and forth movement. So how does that stim with this case? Because here I'm going ahead and I'm doing knife throwing. So beautiful. I'm throwing the knife perfectly and it caught the simonim on one direction, but it still needs to go backwards. It needs a molech back and forth. No problem. Shnu Gemara says, "Vaymelcha maybe shahocha uba'a kidaka." Oh yeah, it went back and forth. Let's say, what's the case went back and forth? Listen to this. This is wild. Look at Rashi. Shahocha uba'a kidaka. Look at Rashi. Baruch Shkivanta. We'll say, get ready. Shechotcha b'halichasa. Rashi says it cut the simanim in the first right when I threw it. It cut the simanim on its way to the wall. Cut it somewhere on the way to the wall. And what happened? V'hiksa b'kosel. It bounces back off the wall. V'chaz, I told you, you want to be friends with this guy. Right? This is mamish. This is a man. Right? V'chazer v'chatcha. V'odam d'vasa t'nitzim b'sakish ishbo. Chutz l'tzavar k'malei tzavar. The sagi leba b'halichasa. B'halichasa l'chuda. Rashi actually gives another passage, which we'll see later on. The Rabbi say, so really during Hilchos Shechita, you need a molech umevi, you need a back and forth. Now the truth is, there's one exception to this rule, which is, if you have a very long knife, and you cut the simanim along the entire length of the knife. So you both say, what's the idea of the molech umevi? What's the molech umevi? We want to make sure you cut the majority of the simanim. We're concerned that if you just go one way, you didn't cut the whole thing. If you go back and forth, we're confident that you cut the whole thing. Or if you have a longer knife, they'll say, what's the definition of a longer knife? A knife that is twice as long as the length or the width. Width? The girth. Right? The girth of the neck. So we'll say, so meaning, essentially, if you have a knife that's twice as long as the width of the neck or the length of the neck, then ultimately, again, that's the equivalent of a molech umevi. So we'll say, so the case could be over here, where again, the guy's throwing the knife. On the way there, it cuts forward, bounces off the wall, goes back, or perhaps a little bit more of a, realistic case. Those cases are a little bit whatever. Is there what? I'm throwing an unusually long, I'm throwing a long knife. So if Rabbi said the entire length of the knife goes across the length of the neck, the equivalent of a molech maybe. Rabbi said, but again, all kidding aside, for our purposes, the reason why this is important is as follows. The Pashat reading of the Mishnah tells me that halacha lemaisa, that even though we said achiri shota v'katan can't do shechita, but yet the Mishnah does say if what? That if they did a shechita and someone else sees them do the shechita, then what? Then what? Then ultimately again, it's good. What does that teach you? What does that teach you? Shechita lo boi kavana, which Rabbi says how we paskin. Shechita does not quite require intention. Whose opinion does that reflect? It's Rabbi Nosson. Now, we'll say again, whether or not we'll pass like Rabbi Nosson ultimately again in this particular case of the knife throwing, we'll get into it later on. But Aloha Maisa, we do accept the principle. Shechita lo boi kavani, you don't need pakarabana for shechita. Therefore, technically speaking, even though we don't want a chayrushot of a cotton shechting, if someone oversaw the shechita from beginning to end and we saw that mechanistically, behaviorally, they did the right thing from beginning to end, the shechita could technically be kosher under those circumstances. Because shechita does not require a kavana. We'll just read one more line. We'll just end off with this. Actually, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with this sugya tomorrow. Well, say just a reminder, tomorrow, last day of Hanukkah, still scheduled 5:45, Mir Tzah Hashem.